All right, I'm going to take a little break. I'm going to take a step back from talking about baseball because I got a little angry there at the end of the hour. We'll talk about some other things. After hours here on 96.5 The Fan, Logan Weber here alongside producer Julio Sanchez. We got Jackson behind the glass doing a little training at the production booth, so he may chime in here a little bit as we get through the final 2 hours of our program here tonight on 96.5 The Fan. There's a lot more to get to that doesn't involve baseball or the All-Star Game or the Home Run Derby or the Royals, for that matter. We got some Chiefs discussion to have at. And one of the things I find interesting is, of course, it's the off season, so you're in that sort of dead space between the end of OTAs and mandatory mini camp and the start of training camp. So things are a little dead right now, right? The news coming out of the National Football League is pretty minimal at the moment. But this week, Kay Adams has been on a deep dive of the Kansas City Chiefs. She chatted with Patrick Mahomes. Earlier this week, it was Trey Smith, where she talked to him about the possibility of an extension, which is right now, I mean, if a long-term extension is coming before the start of the season, it has to be done by July 15th. That's the deadline before he begins the season on the franchise tag, which is a ton of money. So we'll see what happens there. They talked about that. Trey Smith talks about how he dreams about protecting Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's how seriously he takes his job. Today, Kay Adams spoke with Xavier Worthy, in which he talked about the mindset that Patrick Mahomes brings to the facility every day. He talked about what the wide receiver room looks like this year and how comfortable everybody feels, right? Xavier Worthy's going into year two. Rashee's going into year three. He mentioned Hollywood Brown in his second year in the system. He talked about Travis Kelce can't retire, whatever that means. But one of the things that I found most interesting about Xavier Worthy's conversation with Kay Adams was she mentioned that while the Super Bowl was a hard one to swallow for the Kansas City Chiefs and for Chiefs fans, one of the things she took away from it was how the Chiefs in the second half of that game really opened up the offense and threw the ball downfield. They got vertical with their passing attack. And he mentioned something I found kind of interesting. Andy Reid had this to say to the wide receivers after the Super Bowl.
Coach Reid told us during OTAs phase one that when you come back, get your hamstrings ready. So we kind of knew that we were going to be going a little deep in practice. So we kind of got our bodies and got our minds ready to what we were going to be doing in practice.
Get your hamstrings ready. He said that they knew that they were going to be practicing deep balls in practice and in OTAs. That is a welcome, welcome sentence for Chiefs fans, because that's been something we've been clamoring for the last couple of years. Fair or unfair, right? That's what we became accustomed to seeing the Chiefs offense look like in the early part of Mahomes' tenure in Kansas City with DeMarcus Robinson and Tyreek Hill. And crazy to me that I led with DeMarcus Robinson in that scenario, but for some reason that was a name that came to my brain. And Byron Pringle and all these guys in those early Mahomes offenses, they threw the ball downfield. And in the last couple of years, we hadn't seen that. Maybe we would have seen that last season had Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown been healthy for the long haul of the season. That's not what happened. But I am very, very excited about that being a point that Xavier Worthy made in this conversation with Kay Adams earlier today. Andy Reid said, get your hamstrings ready. We're going to be going deep downfield. We're going to get vertical again in the passing game. Chiefs fans want to see that. I mean, that's what they've been waiting for. And I understand, right? I've always understood why the Chiefs went away from that. Yes, you had Rashee and Hollywood go down, threw a massive wrench into this team's offensive philosophy for the year. You had problems along your offensive line. You had the revolving door at left tackle throughout the majority of the season. And I think the biggest part of this puzzle was that the NFL has gone to a shell look. They've gone into this two deep safety, dare you to throw the ball deep downfield and force you to nickel and dime, force you to go West Coast style, nickel and dime down the field sort of offense. And all those things make sense. And all those things made sense for the Chiefs the last couple of years. I just don't think it can continue. It can't at this point. I think that it does a disservice to the talent that this Chiefs team has. And it does a disservice to the talent that is Patrick Mahomes, because it's sort of as if you're telling Patrick Mahomes, hey, we don't want you to make a mistake here. And I feel like you're pulling on the reins of this thoroughbred that you have at the quarterback position that you shouldn't be doing. Let the guy be, let Pat be Pat here a little bit. Let 15 be 15. And if he throws the ball deep downfield and he throws a pick, you live with that because he's Patrick Mahomes. You live with a superstar making a mistake because that is what makes him a superstar. His ability to extend plays with his feet, his ability to find guys deep down the field. That is what this Chiefs team has been about throughout the majority of Patrick Mahomes' career. That's what they need to get back to. I think that's what unlocks a huge part of this offense. And it will make everybody's job easier because you're still going to have the safety blanket of Travis Kelce across the middle of the field. Noah Gray has really come into his own, and we saw it last season. He's become a much more reliable option. Rashee Rice is a very, very good short to intermediate route runner. And when you've got Hollywood and Xavier Worthy willing to take the top off of defense along with Rashee Rice, it just makes everybody's life easier. And what do all those things do? Hey, okay, when we need to, and in spots, and when it makes sense, or when it's going to fool a defense, here, Isaiah Pacheco, here, Kareem Hunt, run the football here a little bit. Open things up for this offense. I think it's the perfect scenario, and I've been clamoring for it. Chiefs fans the world over have been clamoring for it since the end of the Super Bowl, and this is yet another sign, this one coming right from the words of Xavier Worthy today, that I think we're going to see a little bit more of the deep ball this year from the Chiefs than we had the last couple of seasons.
I think part of the plan last year was to unleash the deep ball to Worthy, but with the injuries to Hollywood and Rashee, they kind of had to adapt on the fly. Like, Xavier Worthy came in, he was supposed to be wide receiver three as a rookie. He had to be wide receiver one by week five, and that just threw everything off. And I think that, you know, it's kind of funny. All year they couldn't connect on the deep ball. Once they're out of it in the Super Bowl, that's when they're hitting on the deep ball, you know?
Yeah, just whenever it became completely apparent to everybody watching that the game was completely out of reach for Kansas City, it became a, all right, we're just going to sling it. And it allowed, you saw Patrick Mahomes become a little bit more of the Patrick Mahomes we saw through the first 5 years of his career, where he was allowed to be that gunslinger a little bit more. And you're exactly right. Coming into the year, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver three in the, Andy Reid had the game plan. He had the route tree for Xavier Worthy built, ready to go from the moment he drafted him. And then you see Hollywood go down, and all of a sudden he's wide receiver two. So instead of running his route tree, it's now Hollywood's route tree. And then Rashee goes down early in the year, and he all of a sudden is now running Rashee Rice's route tree, and he's in the game plan for Rashee instead of for himself, and it threw the whole thing completely out of whack. No question about it. 913-586-7965 is our number. D-Rob caught the longest touchdown pass in Mahomes' career. That is a fact. That's wild to think about.
That's the one against the Raiders, right?
Yes.
Touchdown number 50?
Yes.
Walked in backwards?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. Dude, DeMarcus Robinson was the crazy good, crazy bad wide receiver. He drove everybody nuts. I'm pretty sure DeMarcus Robinson, if somebody got in and like did a deep dive of his career in Kansas City, he may have had more yards running east-west than north-south in his career. Somehow this man was always running sideline to sideline. I never understood how DeMarcus Robinson did the things, because he was a great route runner. He caught, he did good things, but for some reason when he got the football in his hands, the guy was always running east and west.
I'll never forget the punt return against the Saints in the COVID year.
Yeah.
Where he just ran straight backwards.
Just straight backwards.
It perfectly encapsulated the way he ran with the football. And then, the demon of him, I guess, still possessed MVS in the Super Bowl against the Niners when he ran straight backwards on that overtime drive. Luckily, Mahomes was able to make up for that.
Ugh. Somebody else says Mahomes sucks at throwing deep now. No, he doesn't. Open up tape, man. I'm begging you. When you're throwing deep balls to Juju Smith-Schuster and Sky Moore and Marquez Valdes-Scantling instead of Tyreek Hill and Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, your numbers are going to dip. The wide receiver core that Mahomes has had at his disposal for the last two or three seasons hasn't been great. That's why his numbers have dipped. No, he doesn't. He's one of the best deep ball throwing quarterbacks in the league. I know what the numbers say, but watch the tape. Look at the receivers he's had at his disposal consistently, and those will tell you a difference. You're not seeing the whole picture. You're seeing half of it. I'm excited. I really am. I'm thrilled about where this Chiefs team can go this year if they can stay healthy. That's always been the biggest factor for this Chiefs team. This wide receiver core, top to bottom, I think can be the best that they've had. And I would throw into the ring the Legion of Zoom years. Can they stay healthy? Hollywood Brown has had injury issues throughout his career, right? Last year in the collarbone thing, yeah, it was a freak injury, but that's been a common thread throughout his career. From his time in Arizona to his time in Baltimore, injuries have been prevalent, throughout Hollywood Brown's career. A major knee injury like the one Rashee Rice had last year is always a difficult one to come back from. Now, from the sounds of it, from the conversations we've heard and the press conferences from Andy and Patrick Mahomes and others, it sounds like Rashee has come back without missing a beat. He's looked great so far this offseason. There's always that lingering thing over the head of Rashee Rice with the suspension because of the legal issue. Will it happen? Will it won't? Will it not happen? Nobody really seems to know, right? The way that it looks right now is if the suspension isn't levied before the season starts, I think it's increasingly unlikely that it will happen at all this season. It may come next season at that point because the NFL has, I mean, not off the top of my head anyway, can I recall a time that the NFL has levied a suspension during the course of a season for something that didn't occur during the course of a season? So I don't know. I think that this Chiefs team can be very, very good. With Travis Kelce having less pressure on him, I think it allows him to be a much more effective and efficient player, right? I think that his snaps, his targets, his receptions will go down this season, and they should go down this season because he's going to have to be relied upon less, which I think is a perfect scenario for this Chiefs team. And with all that in mind, less pressure on your running game as well. I think the biggest hurdle for this Chiefs team, the biggest question mark for this Chiefs offense probably lies along the offensive line. If Josh Simmons is the guy, which more and more reports are coming out that make that seem like a really distinct possibility, if not the most plausible scenario, how does that play out? Does he hit the ground running on day one and he becomes that guy, or are there struggles? And then what do the Chiefs do from there? In my view, the last thing you can do is do a repeat of what we saw with Kingsley Suomataia a season ago. He struggles, you leave him out there. You have to. He's a first round pick. You can't do that with left tackles that you drafted high 2 years in a row. And I know there's going to be the impulse to do that when you just signed a guy like Jalen Moore for $15 million a year.
Well, I think when you talk about the signing of Moore, it kind of made it to where this year, if they break camp and they feel Simmons isn't quite there, the injuries kind of held him back a little bit, you have the flexibility to put Moore into the lineup, where last year you didn't really have anybody to put in for Kingsley. You just kind of had to throw him into the fire, and you threw him straight into Trey Hendrickson, the Baltimore Ravens pass rush. And you're like, well, this isn't working. Well, you only gave him two games against two of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Right. Oh, no question about it. And I agree with you. If the struggles are there coming out of training camp and you want to go to Jalen Moore first, I agree with that decision wholeheartedly. But if your decision is to trot Josh Simmons out at left tackle week one against the Chargers in Sao Paulo, he's got to stay there. You can't start the guy and then pull the plug. That's what you did last year with Kingsley, and I think that it did him a disservice. Now you've made the move to him for him to left guard, and I think he's got a a little bit of a rejuvenation within himself, a new position. What happened at left tackle last year is from a bygone era. Move on. Josh Simmons, you drafted him to be your left tackle for the future. That's why you took him in the first round. And he's got all the talent in the world. We've heard that from everybody, including Andy Reid himself. I think that is going to be a major, major question mark with this Chiefs team, is what happens along the offensive line. Is it Simmons or is it Jalen Moore to begin the season at left tackle? If it's Simmons and he struggles, what do you do? Because I don't think you pull him. And how seamless is the transition going to be for Kingsley Suamataia? What's Jawan Taylor going to look like this year at right tackle, right? Because the writing is most assuredly on the wall that this is it for him in Kansas City. Yes, he's got 2 years left on his deal, but he's going to get cut after next season. Barring an all-pro caliber, barring him turning into Lane Johnson all of a sudden, which is increasingly unlikely, I think this is it for him in Kansas City, and he knows that. So what does his year look like? If he struggles, do the Chiefs pull the trigger on Jalen Moore at right tackle, which I think Jalen Moore will be your right tackle next year? It's interesting. 913-586-7965 is our number. We've got some messages in the text line that I want to take a look at. On the other side of the break here, you're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber here with you on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Talking Kansas City Chiefs here to kick off hour number two of After Hours here on this Thursday, June 10th. Logan Weber here with you, Julio Sanchez producing alongside Jackson, who is training today and doing a great job. Guy's a natural over there.
Appreciate it.
I don't know if you looked a little nervous. I hope I'm making your life easy, but you're doing a great job. Your friend Kit says you're doing a great job, and it's so cool to hear him on the airwaves.
Thank you, Kit.
What a guy. 913-586-7965 is our number. I got some messages in the text line that I want to go through here. I always enjoy the text line. For all its good and its bad, it's got its faults, obviously. Somebody was saying Mahomes sucks at throwing deep now. He said he missed so many deep balls last year. Okay, yes, he did, right? That's fair. That's what the numbers indicate. Just can we take a second to remember who Patrick Mahomes was throwing the football to last year? Hollywood Brown goes down on the first play of the first preseason game, so he's not throwing him the ball. Rashee Rice goes down with an injury in, what, the fourth game of the year? So where are we at now? Here were the top five players in targets for the Kansas City Chiefs last year. Travis Kelce. Fairly obvious. Has Travis Kelce ever been a deep ball threat in his life? No. Second on the team, Xavier Worthy. Obviously a deep ball threat, but a rookie wide receiver who came into the year thinking he's wide receiver three and gets thrust into a wide receiver one role and has to learn it on the fly. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody. Number three on the team in targets last year, DeAndre Hopkins. Great, great wide receiver. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer necessarily, but he's borderline. But the guy played 10 games in Kansas City with no MCL. Not necessarily your best deep ball threat. Noah Gray was fourth on this team in targets. Another guy, obviously not a deep ball threat. Fifth on the team in targets, running back Samaje Perine. Okay, where are the deep ball threats for this Chiefs offense? Where are those guys who are going to get 30, 40, 50 yards downfield with a nice, crisp jet route or a corner post outside of Xavier Worthy? Next, you look down the list further. Justin Watson, Kareem Hunt. Rashee Rice was eighth on this team in targets and only played in four games. Juju Smith-Schuster, Isaiah Pacheco, Hollywood Brown. He only played in two games. He had 15 targets. Those are the last two games of the year. Mecole Hardman. After the debacle that was his time with the New York Jets, and gets traded back to Kansas City for a seventh round pick.
It would be generous to call him a deep target. He couldn't really track the ball no matter how well Mahomes threw it. So,
yes, I understand that the numbers tell you Patrick Mahomes had a difficult year last year throwing the ball deep downfield. Outside of Xavier Worthy, the guy had no vertical threats in this offense. None. None. So let's try to read this here a little bit. He missed several to Worthy. Every quarterback is going to miss balls deep down the field. Is every quarterback on planet Earth going to go 100% on balls thrown 40 plus yards downfield? Nope. That would make you inhuman. All right. Is he a superhero? Was I unaware? Is he a robot? No. Rashee Rice will have a Michael Thomas type season. Slant boy 2.0. Okay. You're not fun to talk to.
I would take setting the catches record. If that's Michael Thomas 2.0, I'm all for it. And if he has to do the slant so Xavier Worthy can get open deep, hey, let's do it.
Why are we denigrating Rashee Rice? And why are we using Michael Thomas to do it? Yeah, Michael Thomas ran a ton of slant routes. Nobody could cover those slant routes, could they? They knew what he was going to run. He ran it anyway. Still caught the football. Oh, Rashee Rice is going to be Michael. Oh, he's going to have 144 catches in a year? Sure. I'll take it.
Oh, no. He's going to be Michael Thomas. What a tragedy. He's going to be Michael Thomas.
Boy, if he's Michael Thomas, the Chiefs are going to have a great year.
I'll take that any day.
Mahomes might win another MVP.
Yep.
Oh, man. We're going to act like that's the worst thing in the world. Unbelievable, man. I want that season. Yeah, I agree. I would be fine with that. I don't think calling him Slant Boys. I mean, that feels a little bit disrespectful.
That was just kind of the joke they made for Michael Thomas because people were like, you know, he set the catch record, but he wasn't doing Julio Jones type stuff down the field. You know, he wasn't the most pleasing guy to watch, but still, the numbers were the numbers.
I'm sorry, I take it back. He had 149 catches.
Gotcha.
Michael Thomas had 149 catches.
Yes, I want it on the record. I will take it if Rashee Rice has 149 catches this year.
100%.
I'll be okay with that.
149 catches for 1,700 yards. Something tells me that he didn't get 1,700 yards and averaged almost 12 yards per reception by just running 3-yard slant routes. Something tells me he was doing a little bit more than that. Maybe it was after the catch. Maybe it was because he was running different routes other than a slant. I get the desire, but yeah, if he could have a Michael Thomas-like season in which Michael Thomas was a first-team All-Pro and won Offensive Player of the Year that year, great. That would be fantastic.
Don't tempt me with a good time, you know?
Oh,
you,
I'd love that.
Trying to point that out like right. That would be a bad thing.
That's fair. This person's saying that's what I want. So
okay, well then,
sorry, it's tough to convey your meaning through a text. You just, you called him Slant Boy 2.0, and I was, that feels like a little bit of a dig when you call
Slant Boy was used as quite a dig on Twitter for Michael Thomas back in the day. So
that, I'm sorry. The way that it was, exactly. The way it was used towards Michael Thomas.
They used to use that against him. So.
Made me feel like that's the way you were using it against Rashee Rice.
For sure.
I apologize. I didn't mean to go at your neck like that. So you're right. The quicker that somebody else in the text line says, the quicker that Juju Smith-Schuster can take the role of Byron Pringle, the faster that Mahomes becomes a better statistical player. The funny thing is I don't see Juju Smith-Schuster necessarily falling under the purview of like what Byron Pringle was for this Chiefs offense during those years. I see Jalen Royals, the rookie from Utah State, fitting that specific role a little bit better than Juju, at least at this point in his career, right? If this would have been 3-4 years ago, Juju Smith-Schuster, yeah, I understand that, but you drafted Jalen Royals out of Utah State, who I believe, if not for the injury, Jalen Royals could have been a fringe second round pick. He was that good for the Aggies at Utah State. In fact, he could have left Utah State after his junior year and transferred to a much bigger program. Lest we forget, the guy was a 4-star coming out of high school, started his career at Oregon. So there's certainly a ton of talent there that exists. But he stuck around Utah State. He got the injury going, right? He got the injury, and it sort of thwarted his draft stock a little bit. I really think that if somebody is going to be more of a Byron Pringle in this offense this year with the other weapons that are around, I think that for the Chiefs' sake, I think in a perfect world, that's more of a Jalen Royals role than a Juju Smith-Schuster. Because if Jalen Royals can be a Byron Pringle type player this year, that allows you to, once the season is over with and you look at, okay, do we want to bring Hollywood Brown back next year on another possible one-year deal or a multi-year deal? If Jalen Royals plays similarly to the way that Byron Pringle played in year one, you can say, I think we're okay letting Hollywood walk here a little bit, right? That's obviously looking too far ahead, but you let him go, and then you still have Rashee Rice back next season for, you know, the end of his rookie deal and that fifth year option that exists and possibly an extension for him. Xavier Worthy would still have 2 years left on his rookie deal. And then you're not right. Your top three wide receivers are all still sitting on rookie deals. That is the perfect world for me. So if Juju Smith-Schuster is that guy, okay, I'm good with that. I would much rather see that guy be Jalen Royals, though, if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, at least for the long haul.
Well, I think you look at it, and it may be the perfect world. Hollywood Brown has the season we thought he was going to have last year, and then you can't afford him after the season because he has too good of a season, which is kind of what we thought would happen last year when he signed the team-friendly one-year deal. And then Jalen Royals can kind of step into the Hollywood role next year, use this year's kind of the understudy to him.
Could be. 913-586-7965 is our number. I got an 816 here that says that the Chiefs will trade Isaiah Pacheco in a first-round pick for Tank Bigsby. What?
That's quite the trade.
What?
That would be quite the trade. I would think that people wouldn't be too happy with Veach.
So a running back for running back scenario. Right. So that first of all is strange to think about, that a team trades a running back for a running back. Right. I mean, the Jags have Travis Etienne, who is obviously their guy. That's their starting running back. But Bigsby had a good year last year after Etienne went down. Right. He had 750 some odd rushing yards. I think he had 7 rushing touchdowns. But you're going to trade a running back and a first round pick for a running back who didn't hit double-digit rushing touchdowns or 1,000 yards rushing. That feels far-fetched. Trading a first-round pick for a running back that isn't named Saquon Barkley or maybe Derrick Henry, I'm sorry to tell you, not happening.
I think we're at the point to the only guys in the league at running back you would even consider trading a first-round pick for would be Bijan, Gibbs, and probably Saquon. But,
yeah.
But even then, Saquon's getting near 30.
I'm not sure how many guys exist in the National Football League today that you would trade a first-round pick for. I honestly don't.
If you take quarterback out of it, because I think there's obviously the elite quarterbacks you're going to trade multiple first-round picks for. If years ago Deshaun Watson could go for 3 first-round picks, obviously that market's a little inflated, but yeah, if you take quarterback out of it, I really don't know either. I think it's a very, very slim list.
You know, I think that raises an interesting topic. You know what we're going to do, Jackson? We're going to take
what
a break. And then
right.
I want, when we come back, I want to try to run through a list.
I got you.
I want to put a list together of guys, because the NFL trade market is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, you're seeing all pros go for nothing
pretty much, yeah.
Right? I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was a 5th-round pick, right?
Yeah.
L'Jarius Sneed was for pennies, peanuts, right?
I mean, Debo this offseason went for nothing.
You don't see guys go for first-round picks anymore.
This isn't the NBA where a role player gets 4 first-round picks.
Is there anybody that goes for a first-round pick? And I'll even throw quarterback into the ring and see how many quarterbacks we can throw out there
that
would fall under the purview of being worth just a single first-round pick. 913-586-7965 is our number. Give us some names. Tell us who you think would be a trade option worth a first-round pick in today's day and age of the NFL. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break here, After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
All right. We're going off the rails a little bit, but we had a conversation in the last segment. Somebody mentioned the Chiefs trading Isaiah Pacheco in a first-round pick for Tank Bigsby, which is a bit outlandish. A bit feels probably not strong enough, but it brought up an interesting discussion topic in my brain. is there or are there players in the NFL that you would say are worthy of a first round pick in a trade? And I don't think there's very many of them. Jackson, I was sitting here during the break kind of combing through a list and thinking off the top of my head, and I've only got 12 guys that I look at and say they are for sure worth a first round pick in today's NFL trade market. I mean, let's think back to a couple of years ago with Christian McCaffrey. He got traded from Carolina to San Francisco for a second, a third, and a fifth, right? Look at Jalen Ramsey just a couple of weeks ago. It was him for Minka Fitzpatrick straight up in a trade. No first round pick involved there. Joe Tooney got traded to the Bears for pennies on the dollar. You would imagine, at least by Madden NFL trade logic, that trade would never go through. But that's the NFL that we live in today. So who are the guys that you can look at and say, if there was a trade that existed, that guy would be worth a first round pick? And I've got 12 names here. I've got four quarterbacks. I've got a running back. I've got a handful of edge rushers. I have a linebacker, a corner, and a couple of wide receivers. I got 12 names. The quarterbacks, the four most obvious ones, right? Burrow, our boy Patrick Mahomes, the reigning MVP in Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Those are the four guys, right?
For sure.
If you're looking, and there's probably other quarterbacks you could say that are fringe guys,
Herbert,
right? Herbert, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, right? I mean, That's a guy that was an MVP runner-up a couple of years ago, lest we
Stroud won
a Super Bowl. So there are guys that I think could have a first-round pick thrown their way, but there's only four quarterbacks in my mind that are no doubt, if you're trying to trade for them, they are worth a first-round pick at least.
Oh, it's going to be multiple first
round picks. Yes, 100%. It's Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
100%.
The running back is obviously Saquon Barkley, right?
Really?
Yes, for me. Derrick Henry, I think, is a fringe first round pick, but age is always going to be a deterrent, especially at the running back position. As unfair as I believe that is to say, I don't know if Derrick Henry at his age, with the amount of carries that have been put on his body from his time in high school to today, It's a lot, right? Bijan Robinson, I think, is another fringe first round pick.
That's what I was going
to say. The talent is obviously there. It is no doubt in my mind there. He's got Saquon Barkley type qualities.
For sure.
But production, Saquon Barkley versus Bijan Robinson, it's no contest.
Oh, yeah. No,
right?
Yeah.
Then you've got Christian McCaffrey, another sort of quote-unquote fringe guy. He was traded for a second-round pick a couple of years ago. But Christian McCaffrey's had injury after injury after injury in his career.
At this point,
it was a second-round pick for him a couple of years ago. Is it a first-round pick now somehow, now that he's a few years older? I don't see it. I got three edge rushers.
Okay, I'm interested in these.
Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Worth a first-round pick, in my view.
It almost happened.
Almost happened.
Yeah.
I've got T.J. Watt. Multiple-time defensive player of the year. Now, age becomes a factor, so maybe that throws him into the fringe category for some. And then Micah Parsons.
Yeah, for sure.
I believe is worth a first-round pick in today's NFL. My two wide receivers, a couple of LSU guys. Jamar Chase, Jay Jettis.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, the two best wide receivers in the league, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
No question
in
my mind.
Not much suspense on that one. I mean, those were pretty obvious.
No. And then, you know, I had Derek Stingley as sort of like a fringe first round pick coming off the year he just had, but I believe Pat Surtain II is the only, in my view, no doubt defensive back that is worth a first round pick.
Well, if you win defensive player of the year at corner, I mean, you're at the top of the
incredibly
NFL.
Difficult to
I think
do.
The last guy to do it was Gilmore in New England. It's incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Sauce Gardner might be a fringe guy.
Fringe.
Like, I don't have Trent McDuffie on this list. I believe Trent McDuffie is absolutely elite.
Oh, he's great.
But I don't think Trent McDuffie would go for a first-round pick in today's NFL.
Let me ask you one on the edge rusher that I came to my mind, just because of how young he is and how cheap he is, Jared Verse on the Rams. Do you think, because of how good he was as a rookie, because of how cheap he is, do you think maybe that could fetch a first? Because that's a guy that came to my mind.
In my view, no.
Okay.
I mean, if you're considering a guy like Jared Verse, okay, where's the conversation surrounding Jalen Carter? I mean, not an edge rusher, an interior guy, but then Jalen Carter comes to mind. Sexy Dexy, Big Dexter Lawrence in New York comes to mind. Then you've got Chris Jones.
For sure.
With the Kansas City Chiefs comes to mind. So, no, I don't look at Jared Verse as a first-round pick sort of guy. Maybe if he puts together another really good year or improves upon it in year two, then the conversation exists, certainly.
I think the one thing that I kind of bring it up, though, for is because T.J. Watt needs a new contract right now, and he's going to reset the market. Mm-hmm. So if you trade for him, kind of like Pittsburgh traded for DK, you're not just trading for the player. You're also paying the player on top. You're about to give them a huge contract on top of that, which I think is one of the pluses if you go after a guy like Verse versus T.J. Watt. But you're right in the sense of, like, we've seen the production with Watt and those guys. We haven't quite seen it with Verse.
And then the other guy that I've got on my list as who I believe would be worth a first-round pick, and this is one that may be strange to some people, Fred Warner.
Yeah, he's elite.
Linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't think people understand in the realm of, like, linebackers in NFL history, he's up there.
Yeah.
In, like, all time.
Yeah. And then some of the other fringe guys that I had, I mentioned Stingley and Derrick Henry, Jalen Carter, Chris Jones. Tristan Wirfs of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, is a fringe first round pick guy. His contract, I think, might be a deterrent to a first round pick, being the highest paid tackle in football, but he's probably deserving of that. Brock Bowers is sort of a fringe guy for me, because is a tight end worth a first round pick? As great as he is, is a tight end worth a first round pick? I don't know. One guy that somebody mentioned that I didn't even think about, and who I believe right now with his market value would be a first round pick, Jalen Daniels.
Oh, for sure.
After the year he just had
Daniels, for sure.
with the Commanders, taking him to an NFC championship game in his rookie year. Yeah. That guy's worth a first round pick.
On top of that, you get four more years of him on a rookie contract.
Right. Right.
But that wouldn't even matter. Even if he was making big money, he'd be a guy that could save a franchise. So, yeah. 100%.
No question.
Good catch, whoever that was.
Somebody in the text line threw out some more names. He threw out Mahomes and Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Surtain, Lamar, Burrow. Doesn't have Josh Allen on his list, which I find interesting. Myles Garrett. He also throws Penei Sewell, who I believe is a fringe guy.
I think you could argue that.
You could definitely argue it, but as a right tackle, what does that look like? Trent Williams?
Not at this age.
5 years ago, yes.
Yeah, not at this age.
The advanced age is going to it's going to turn people off.
It's like 38. I think he's
he's at least in his mid-30s.
And it's not that he's not still elite, because he is, but
and he's fresh off of a year where he dealt with some injury issues, right?
Right,
that's why Jalen Moore started, and that's why the Chiefs 100%. Signed him. He's 37.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to turn some people off in terms of a first-round pick. Max Crosby is a name that's on there. I believe he's another fringe guy.
Yeah, he's on the cusp.
He is, and he just signed that mammoth-sized deal. So that's a lot of money to be thrown around at some people. But it raises an interesting point. There aren't many guys that you can definitively say that guy's worth a first round pick.
Think about how many franchises you didn't even consider either. Like you did. There's 32 teams.
Yeah.
There's tons of franchises we didn't even consider for this. Like the Panthers. No, absolutely not.
No.
Like there's a first round pick today feels like it's more valuable than it's ever been. Teams are prioritizing it more. It used to be, you just throw first round picks away to throw them away. The Rams for a whole decade didn't even have a first round pick.
Right.
So,
I mean, the Chiefs got a first round pick for Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
Right.
Which made sense.
Which made perfect sense. Is Tyreek Hill worth a first round pick now?
No.
Probably not.
Not anymore.
Somebody says Andy Reid's worth a first round pick.
Coaches would be interesting.
Big Red's worth a couple of
Sean
firsts.
McVay.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah, fair.
There's a couple guys at coach, you could argue. But big Red for sure, Sean McVay, and then it's like Shanahan, maybe?
Is Kyle Shanahan worth a first?
No, he doesn't have a Super Bowl, but he's kind of elevated some pretty mediocre quarterbacks.
Is John Harbaugh worth a first?
Yeah, I mean, I think it gets into an interesting conversation there. Like, I think if you went back 10 years ago, I would have given up 10 firsts for Bill Belichick, right?
Fair.
And then he falls off, without Brady, he falls off a cliff. So coaches are kind of weird.
There's not many guys.
No.
Not today. Not in today's NFL, and not with how the trade market has shifted so much over the last few years. I mean, Tyreek Hill he might be the last real big name player to be traded for a first round pick. And he was a first, a second, and a smattering of other picks.
Right.
I mean, the Chiefs got Trent McDuffie from that trade.
The Chiefs rebuilt their entire defense off of that trade.
Yeah. Yeah, completely changed the trajectory of this Chiefs team.
was, well, I guess they had their own pick for Karloftis, but they wouldn't be able to take McDuffie and Karloftis without that trade.
Right, so. Exactly. 913-586-7965 is the number. We'll come back, wrap up hour number two. Don't forget, we're here till 9 o'clock tonight. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber alongside producer Jackson getting some training in tonight, doing a great job here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Talking Kansas City Chiefs here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside producer Jackson Ogden. Had to get his last name during the break. It's sort of, you sort of had this like one name aura surrounding you there a little bit. And I was like, nah, I got to throw this guy's full government name out there. Got to let the people know who you
are.
Appreciate it. He tried to fool me by telling me he and Jonathan Ogden were related, but I saw right through that.
What you mean? I got that NFL blood in me. Come on.
Yep. Yep, and I mean, my last name's Weber. I'm obviously related to Chris Weber, for sure. Even though our last names are spelled different.
It's the most athletic podcast in the whole country right
God,
now.
It must be. It's unbelievable. we talked a little bit. We kind of got off on a little bit of a tangent during the last break, talking about like players that are worth a first-round pick. And I'm trying to like run through my brain of like in recent memory, who are players that were traded away for first round picks in you know, go 2014 Brandon Cooks was traded for a 27th overall pick, which was Deion Buchanan and a 2014 third round pick, but that was on draft night, so that doesn't mean much of anything. Another draft night trade, 2019 the Giants and Browns swapped Kevin Zeitler and Jabril Peppers for Odell Beckham Jr. and Olivier Vernon. But that also included the 17th overall pick that went to the Giants, which turned into Dexter Lawrence, and a 2019 third-round pick, which turned out to be O'Shane Zameens. Kind of feel like the Giants won that trade. And then in 2019, another trade, Khalil Mack went to the Bears, along with a second-round pick, which turned into Cole Kmet, and a conditional pick in 2020 that was Arlington Hambright for the 24th overall pick, which the Raiders used to select Josh Jacobs, who now plays for the Packers, a 2019 sixth-round pick, which was Blessin Austin, a first-round pick in 2020, Damon Arnett, that didn't pan out, and a third-round pick in 2020, Brian Edwards, which also didn't pan out. The Steelers traded Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins for a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and a 2021 sixth-round pick. The first-round pick in 20 was Austin Jackson. The Steelers got a fourth and a seventh back in return. The Bills traded Stephon Diggs, or excuse me, the Vikings traded Stephon Diggs to the Bills for a first-round pick. Sorry, Josh Allen. That first-round pick became Justin Jefferson.
I'd say that worked out.
Yikes. That's a tough one to swallow if you're Buffalo. Trades have not been kind to them.
Well, that only became possible because the Eagles took Jalen Reagor the pick before instead of Jefferson. So there's an alternate timeline where Minnesota ends up with Jalen Reagor. You know?
Oh, and who? Yeah.
The only Howie Roseman miss ever.
Yeesh. Come on, man. 2021, the Eagles and Dolphins had a draft night trade. The Eagles got the 12th overall pick, which was Micah Parsons, who later got then traded to the Cowboys, who got the 10th overall, or the Eagles got the 10th overall pick and drafted Devonta Smith. So that's a whole weird, like, Dolphins got Jalen Waddle, the Cowboys got Micah Parsons, and the Eagles got Devonta Smith, all with picks that those teams didn't initially have.
Somehow everyone left a winner in that, too. Those are three really good players.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Cowboys also got Chauncey Golston, a 2021 third-round pick. Shout out Chauncey Golston. He's an Iowa guy, so had to give my guy a shout out there. The Eagles also got a first-round pick in 2022 that they used on Kenyon Green. Haven't heard much about him so far in his career. The Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown back in 2021 with the Ravens for the 31st overall pick. The Ravens got Odafe Owe, a third round pick, which they used on Ben Cleveland, who's been a solid offensive lineman throughout his career, a fourth in Marco Wilson, and a fifth in Marcus McKethan. The Chiefs got Orlando Brown, a 2021 second round pick that they used on Nick Bolton, and a sixth round pick in 22 on Jalen Naylor, who has not seen time with the Kansas City Chiefs. Jets traded Jamal Adams to the Seahawks. I mean, there are not many. A.J. Brown to the Titans in 2022. Another draft night trade there between the Cardinals and the Texans. Yeah, and then the Tyreek Hill trade. Aren't many guys that you've seen thrown around for first-round picks in the last 10, 12 years of the NFL.
Well, one of the common traits that you just mentioned in all those trades is those teams, when they made those trades, typically already knew where they were picking, right? So it's like, is this guy worth a first round pick? Well, he's not worth a top five pick, but he might be worth pick 30 like Orlando Brown was. You know, like, would the Chiefs have traded the top 10 pick for Orlando Brown Jr.? No, absolutely not. But they needed a left tackle, and were they going to find a better one at 31 or 30? No. So it made sense to do that trade if you're Kansas City.
913-586-7965 is our number. Much more to get to here in the final hour of our program tonight, including the Royals picking up a guy, a former Cy Young winner, on a minor league deal, what we think it might mean for the Royals the remainder of the season, when we might finally see Cam Devaney in the lineup, along with some trade rumors for the Kansas City Royals, both guys coming to Kansas City or potentially exiting Kauffman Stadium here before we hit the trade deadline. All that's coming up on the final hour of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.